Today, I would like to continue in our series in the book of Ruth. We're going to finish up today with the book of Ruth. We've been doing a series. Go ahead, click it, Doug. Ruth, a story of God's faithfulness. All right? And the title of today's message is Kinsman Redeemer. And we talked a little bit about it two weeks ago. And today it is from Ruth chapter 4 is where we'll be going. And what I want to do is I want to kind of summarize the 3 weeks that we've done, the 3 messages that we've done, so you can get a picture of where we're going and what we're doing. You should have, hopefully, if you had one, if not, we can get one for you, the handout. And there's little handouts there where you can fill in blanks if you want. If you don't fill in blanks and you want to or you miss one and you can get online, these outlines are actually on the church's website. So you can get the messages there. If you want, and you can also get the outlines there. You know what I was going to do is, and I'm going to say it anyway, because if I don't, I'll just be thinking about it. What we need to do before I started all this is I was going to say, okay, we've had a great time. Go out, enjoy it, and listen to the message online. And we'll just enjoy the beautiful day, because the message is the same, whether I'm standing here giving it to you or you can listen to it online. But we won't. We'll dig in. We started several weeks ago in Ruth chapter 1, and the title of the message was called The Velcro Effect. Go ahead, Dougie. Keep picking through there. There you go. And we were talking about God's faithfulness. You see, Naomi and Elimelech, they moved to Moab to escape the famine in Israel. Naomi's two sons, they marry Moabitess women, Orpah and Ruth. Okay? And after this takes place, Naomi's husband, Elimelech, and her two sons, Chilion and Mahlon, they die, which leaves Ruth with her two daughters. Ruth tries to persuade them to go back to their own people so they can be cared for. After some convincing, Orpah says, okay, I'll go back. Ruth decides to cling to Naomi, and that's where the Velcro effect comes in. She decides to cling with Naomi and comes up with the line, your people will be my people, your God, my God, where you go, I will go, where you stay, I will stay. A really good line of faithfulness. And the faithfulness that Ruth had to Naomi, wherever Naomi was going, Ruth was going with her. Didn't matter where. And that was faithfulness. That was Ruth chapter 1. Ruth chapter 2 was titled, It Just Happened. I left the it off of that, and I noticed it, but I wasn't changing it when I got here today. So, It Just Happened, okay? And the idea is God's provision. And Naomi had named herself Mara, thinking that the hand of God was against her, and she had given up hope. And they move back, and Ruth says, we cannot survive like this. I have to go out and do something. So she finds a field, and somehow she ends up at the field of Boaz, and she's gleaning there, and God provided for her. And Boaz was a kind man. And not only does he care for her there and watches out after her, but he makes sure that Ruth has enough stuff to take back to Naomi and gives her plenty. And that is God's provision for us. The third week, which you did 2 weeks ago, was titled Amazing Love. And we talked about God's love. And the love of God is pictured by the love that is shown between Ruth and Boaz. Okay? Naomi sends Ruth, in the story a couple weeks ago, sends Ruth to Boaz to the threshing floor to lay at his feet so that he can become the kinsman redeemer and help seek his protection. Boaz, when we left the story a couple weeks ago, Boaz, in the end of chapter 3, he promises, if I am able to, I will do it. I will be your kinsman redeemer. Now, some of you might remember years ago, when you got a bottle, some kind of soda bottle or drink bottle, on some of the bottles, it said, no refill, no return. Okay? In other words, that bottle was not redeemable. When you were done with it, you were done with it. Today we look at bottles, which I don't have one up here, and we'll look for either on the bottles, like water bottles have them, or soda cans, and they say OR 5 cents. I'm picking them up all the time looking, and the ones that don't say it, you just kind of recycle it. The ones that do, like the one Kelly has, it has it there. It is redeemable. You can turn that in for 5 cents. See, that's the way we look at them nowadays. If you have just a regular juice can, they are not redeemable. You see, Naomi was at the place where she felt that her days of redemption were far beyond her. She was no longer redeemable. having her husbands and sons die in the land of Moab, being left with one daughter-in-law who was a foreigner, it all seemed hopeless to her. But today, as we look through the book of Ruth, we can see that God is still at work. And what I want to do for you is to read chapter 4, and I'm going to read all of it for you. You can follow along if you want, or you can listen. Ooh, that feels weird when I look up. I can't do that. You can listen, just listen if you want, as I read chapter 4. And listen to how the story of Ruth and Boaz finishes up. Meanwhile, Boaz went up to the town gate and sat there. When the kinsman redeemer he had mentioned came along, Boaz said, "Come over here, my friend, and sit down." So he went over and sat down. Boaz took 10 of the elders of the town and said, "Sit here." And they did so. Then he said to the kinsman redeemer, "Naomi, who has come back from Moab, is selling the piece of land that belonged to her brother Elimelech. I thought I should bring the matter to your attention and suggest that you buy it in the presence of these seated here and in the presence of the elders of my people. If you will redeem it, do so. But if you will not, tell me, so I will know. For no one has the right to do it except you, and I am next in line. I will redeem it. Let's see. I am next in line. I will redeem it," he said. Then Boaz said, "On the day you buy the land from Naomi and from Ruth the Moabitess, you acquire the dead man's widow in order to maintain the name of the dead with his property." At this, the kinsman redeemer said, "Then I cannot redeem it, because I might endanger my own estate. You redeem it yourself. I cannot do it." Now, in earlier times in Israel, for the redemption and transfer of property to become final, one party took off his sandal and gave it to the other. This was the method of legalizing transactions in Israel. So the kinsman redeemer said to Boaz, "Buy it yourself." And he removed his sandal. Then Boaz announced to the elders and all the people, "Today you are witnesses that I have bought from Naomi all the property of Elimelech, Chilion, and Mahlon. I have also acquired Ruth the Moabitess, Mahlon's widow, as my wife, in order to maintain the name of the dead with his property, so that his name will not disappear from among his family or from the town records. Today, you are witnesses." Then the elders and all those at the gate said, "We are witnesses. May the Lord make the woman who is coming into your home like Rachel and Leah, who together built up the house of Israel. May you have standing in Ephrathah and be famous in Bethlehem through the offspring the Lord gives you by this young woman. May your family be like that of Perez, whom Tamar bore to Judah." So Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife. Then he went to her, and the Lord enabled her to conceive, and she gave birth to a son. The woman said to Naomi, "Praise be to the Lord, who this day has not left you without a kinsman redeemer. May he become famous throughout Israel. He will renew your life and sustain you in your old age. For your daughter-in-law, who loves you and who is better to you than seven sons, has given him birth." Then Naomi took the child, laid him in her lap, and cared for him. The women living there said, "Naomi has a son," and they named him Obed. He was the father of Jesse, the father of David. This, then, is the family line of Perez. Perez was the father of Hezron, Hezron the father of Ram, Ram the father of Amminadab, Amminadab the father of Nahshon, Nahshon the father of Salmon, Salmon the father of Boaz, Boaz the father of Obed, Obed the father of Jesse, and Jesse the father of David. So today, as we look at this, we want to see that Ruth is a story of God's redemption. From the land of Moab, gleaning in the fields of Boaz, to the threshing floor, the story finds its purpose, the whole purpose, in the kinsman redeemer. In the Old Testament, the kinsman redeemers were relatives who protected the needy members of their extended family. They could buy back, they could redeem, they could buy back a relative who was sold into slavery, and that is found in Leviticus chapter 25, they could preserve the family lineage of a deceased male by marrying his widow and providing an heir in Deuteronomy 25. These are the laws that explain it. And the land a relative had sold outside the family, that would be in Leviticus 25. In order for the kinsman redeemer to redeem a person or the land or the lineage, he must fit three qualifications. The first one is he must be a blood relative. The second is he must be able to redeem. And the third is he must be willing to redeem. In the story of Ruth, there is a kinsman redeemer that is nearer than Boaz. But he was not willing to or able to. Here's what it says in Ruth chapter 4, verse 6. At this, the kinsman redeemer said, "Then I cannot redeem it, because I might endanger my own estate. You redeem it yourself. I cannot do it." So Boaz steps up to become the kinsman redeemer, and he redeems the land and the lineage of Elimelech, Chilion, and Mahlon. Mahlon was Ruth's deceased husband. Boaz, who is a blood relative, is able to redeem. Now, granted, that story sounds ancient and the customs sound really, really strange to us. But if we follow through the story and listen through it, we can see that this story and the kinsman redeemer has the same thing as Jesus Christ, who is our kinsman redeemer. In the Old Testament writings of the person and work of Jesus Christ, you know, when Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, which is in Numbers 21:9, that was a word picture. That was a thing of the atoning work that Jesus Christ would do in John 3:14. Listen to this. John 3:14 and 15. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in Him may have eternal life. You see, Boaz is a type of Christ in his role as a kinsman redeemer. Knowing who the kinsman redeemer can redeem, those sold into slavery, which is sin, and being a blood relative, able and willing, we can see the effective redeeming work of Jesus Christ. The first thing that needs to take place is the redeemer must be a blood relative. Jesus Christ became the incarnation that he might be a blood relative to redeem lost humanity. It wasn't just God out there. Jesus Christ stepped down and became a human, then he could be our blood relative. John 1:14 says, "The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." The Redeemer must also be able. And Christ was able. 1 Peter 1, 18 and 19 says, "For you know that it was not with perishable things, such as silver or gold, that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, that is a lamb without blemish or defect." And the third thing is, the Redeemer must be willing. And Jesus Christ, he was willing. In Hebrews 9:12, he did not enter by means of the blood of goats and calves, but he entered the most holy place once for all by his own blood, having obtained eternal redemption. The Apostle Paul reminds us of our fallen nature and that we have been sold into slavery of sin. Therefore, all of mankind is in need of a redeemer. The principle of redemption is to be bought back from the bondage of sin and freedom from its control. Ephesians 2, 11 and 13. "Therefore, remember that formerly you are Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision, that done in the body by the hands of men. Remember that at the time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near to the blood of Christ. Ephesians 2:19 goes on and says, consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household. You see, Christ is our kinsman redeemer. It continues, Titus 2:14, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. Galatians 3:13, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree. Ephesians 1:7, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace. You see, Christ purchased our freedom through his blood as the payment to redeem us. Need I say that God is still in the redemption business today? A story is told of a businessman who was wanting to sell an old warehouse that he owned. And he had a prospective buyer who was in there looking at it. And the building had been empty for months, and repairs were needed. Vandals had broken the doors and busted some of the windows. They had thrown trash all over the place. So as the owner is showing the prospective buyer the building, he's going along and saying, I'll take care of the windows and the doors. I'll repair them. Any structural damage, I'll take care of it all. Any of the garbage that's in here, I'll have it all cleaned out. To which the buyer replied, forget about any of the repairs. When I buy this place, I'm going to build something completely different. I don't want the building. I want the site. You see, that's God's message to us. God wants to redeem us and to build in us the benefits of redemption. He wants us, and he wants to make us new. Redemption restores life. Verses 6 through 8 say, at this the kinsman redeemer said, then I cannot redeem it, because I might endanger my own estate. You redeem it yourself. I cannot do it. Now, in earlier times in Israel, for the redemption and transfer of property to become final, one party took off his sandal and gave it to the other. This was the method of legalizing transactions in Israel. So the kinsman redeemer said to Boaz, buy it yourself, and he removed his sandal. Okay, I just have to stop. Doesn't that sound strange? You're going to make a deal with somebody, so you take your shoe off and say, here, you have my shoe. The deal's complete. We just shake hands nowadays or write contracts. Take your sandal off and pass it to him. What an amazing way to make a deal. Boaz keeps the family alive. He restores the lineage of Naomi and her husband and the sons to continue. When death seemed inevitable, redemption restored the life. Psalms 23, verses 3 and 4. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Psalms goes on in 51:12. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Can you today, can you sing the song of the redeemed? You see, it's a song of restoration. It's a song of renewal in Christ Jesus. Revelation 5:9 says, they sang a new song. You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals because you were slain. And with your blood you purchased men for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. You see, redemption also gives witness. Verses 9 and 10. Then Boaz announced to the elders and all the people, today you are witnesses that I have bought from Naomi all the property of Elimelech, Chilion, and Mahlon. I have also acquired Ruth the Moabitess, Mahlon's widow, as my wife, in order to maintain the name of the dead with his property, so that his name will not disappear from among his family or from the town records. Today, you are my witnesses. Redemption always bears witness to the truth. We are witnesses not only of each other, but of the redeeming work of God. The Christian life is not to be a life of isolation. It is to be a witness of the great redemptive work of God in us through Christ Jesus. Thank you, James. I left it down there when I got up. Psalms 107:2 says, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy." Just as many witnessed the redeeming act of Boaz to Ruth, and Boaz made sure they were around, so we are to become witnesses of God's redemption in our lives. Acts 1:8 says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." You see, we are witnesses of the day that Christ redeemed us. Each one of us will have a story to tell of the day that Christ came and redeemed us and bought us back. But it goes on and on and on. Your story does not just end some 10 years ago or 15 years ago or 20 years ago or maybe even last month when you accepted Christ. It is a living story that grows, and the redemption and the process continues. Are we witnesses? Do we tell people of the things that Christ has done to redeem us? The third thing, redemption gives new life. Ruth 4:13-15 says, "So Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife. Then he went to her, and the Lord enabled her to conceive, and she gave birth to a son. The women said to Naomi, 'Praise be to the Lord, who this day has not left you without a kinsman redeemer. May he become famous throughout Israel. He will renew your life and sustain you in your old age. For your daughter-in-law, who loves you and who is better than seven sons, has given him birth.'" Okay, mind wander again. Back in biblical days, the sons were important. The daughters were not necessarily important. But Ruth is more important than seven sons. That's amazing stuff there. That's just my mind wandering, sorry. The lives of the redeemed share in the new life that is offered. God was not satisfied with Boaz merely redeeming the land, but also the life of Ruth, so that the life lineage would continue. So not only was it just the land, but Boaz took Ruth as well. And because through Boaz and Ruth, the lineage for Naomi could continue. For Naomi, her life was now restored through the new life that she held in her hands. And in verse 16 it says, "Then Naomi took the child, laid him in her lap, and cared for him." Naomi was holding her redemption. Oh, to think that there was once a time that was so dark in Naomi's life, way back, that she had given up all hope, thinking that the hand of God was against her. But God. Isn't that a great phrase? But God. God had other plans, plans of redemption. The story of Ruth does not end with this gentle picture of Grandma Naomi holding Obed, the son of Ruth and Boaz. No, the story continues. Redemption gives new life so that redemption may continue. Listen to verse 22. "Obed, the father of Jesse, and Jesse, the father of David." We must travel forward to the end, into the land of the New Testament, to see the lineage of Boaz and Ruth continue. So they're giving a little bit of genealogy there and trying to do that. If you go to Matthew 1:5-6, it says, "Salmon, the father of Boaz, whose mother was Rahab, Boaz, the father of Obed, whose mother was Ruth, Obed, the father of Jesse, and Jesse, the father of King David. David was the father of Solomon, whose mother had been Uriah's wife." Continuing in 16, "And Jacob, the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. So see, because of Ruth and Boaz, the lineage continues all the way down to Jesus Christ. But follow this. You have this picture of Naomi holding Obed. Her redemption. Flip to the New Testament real quick. See a picture of Mary and Joseph in the temple with their child, the Christ child. And another elderly lady named Anna comes up and bears witnesses to the redemption to be made in Christ. In Luke chapter 2, verses 36 through 38, there was also a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Pheniel of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after marriage and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple but worshiped day and night, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. See, you have this word picture, this parallel that's going through. If you take Ruth, the book of Ruth, and you look at the symbolism, some of the things that are taking place, it is the same thing of the work of Jesus Christ in our lives as kinsman redeemer. Jesus Christ is our kinsman redeemer who gives new life to all who come to him. The story of redemption continues each time a person confesses and believes in Jesus Christ. The story of redemption continues to give new life even today. Ephesians 1:7 says, "In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace." For you see, in him, in Jesus Christ, in him we find the fulfillment of God's faithfulness, care, and love. In him, salvation is fulfilled for sinful and lost mankind. And in him, we find that Ruth's story is actually our story, as we have a kinsman redeemer who is faithful and true. Listen to this. "As I look back on this road I've traveled, I see so many times he carried me through. If there's one thing I know in my life, my redeemer is faithful and true. My heart rejoices when I read the promise. There is a place I'm preparing for you. I know someday I'll see my Lord face to face, because my Redeemer is faithful and true. My Redeemer is faithful and true. Everything he said, he will do. And every morning his mercies are new. My Redeemer is faithful and true. In every situation, he has proved his love for me. When I lack understanding, he gives more grace to me. My Redeemer is faithful and true. Everything he said he will do. And every morning his mercies are new, for my Redeemer is faithful and true." Now those are the words of a song, and in just a minute, Dougie's going to play that for you. But I want you to think about it. Where are you with Jesus Christ? Where are you with the Redeemer? See, he offers new life. He offers redemption. And while this song is playing, I want you to listen to the words of the song, to listen to the song, and reflect on your life. Have you found that Redeemer? Have you accepted that Redeemer?
As I look back on this road I've traveled, I see so many times he carried me through. If there's one thing that I've learned in my life, my Redeemer is faithful and true. My Redeemer is faithful and true. Everything he has said he will do. And every morning his mercies are new. faithful and true. My heart rejoices when I read the promise. There is a place that I'm preparing for you. I know someday I'll see my Lord face to face, 'cause my Redeemer is faithful and true. My Redeemer is faithful.
The days of redemption, they are not behind us. They are right before us because our Redeemer is faithful and true. And what I want to do is I want to pray for you now as the worship team comes up. And if you're not sure about this redemption, this kinsman Redeemer and the redemption of Jesus Christ, come and talk to me or one of the other pastors. We'd love to talk to you about Jesus Christ and His love. But hopefully you're walking with Him and you have this redemption, you have this life with Him. And I want to say a prayer for you. And then the worship team is going to lead us in a closing song. And as soon as it's done, you're welcome to leave. Okay? This will be our closing prayer. So let's pray. Father, just thank you for this wonderful day that you have given to us. This day of looking forward to our Redeemer who is faithful and true. Jesus Christ is our kinsman Redeemer. He has come. He is able and He is willing to redeem each and every one of us from the bondage and the slavery of sin, to offer to us new life that continues and continues to give, even today. Father, I pray that if there's somebody here right now who has not accepted Jesus Christ, who does not know about this Redeemer, that you lead them and you guide them, allow them to find this love that hung on a cross for each and every one of us. Father, there's someone here who knows about the Redeemer, but it felt like giving up, and it's felt like things are just not going well. Restore in them your mercies that are new every morning. Give them hope. Father, as we prepare to leave this place, go with us and allow each one of us to be witnesses of the redeeming work of Jesus Christ. For in the name of Christ, our Lord and Savior, we pray. Amen.